Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Into the Badlands. Episode is entitled Leopard Stalks in Snow. This is Season 2, Episode 6.
Leopard Stalks in Snow. What does that mean, Maggie?
Leopard stalks in snow. Oh, wait. This is actually kind of related to the episode for once. So explain. There's that big fight scene between the Abbots, and MK, Ava, and Sunny, and later on, Badgie. And that's in that weird Christmas-themed
space. That was so awesome.
So there is snow, actually. Leopard stalks in snow. Well, I guess if they're stalking someone, like, I mean, the Abbots are stalking MK and Ava. And I guess Badgie is stalking the Abbots and Sunny. And...
But would you call that the heart of the episode?
Would I call it the heart of the episode?
You know, worth naming an episode after.
I'm trying to do a quick rundown of what else happens. We have the whole thing with Vale runs away, goes to the Widow, and then the Widows kind of strike up an alliance with Quinn, and Quinn finds Vale. There's the whole thing with Lydia. I don't know what that was all about. That was weird. And
weird is a nice way to put it.
And then Sunny is leaving... Well, he gets medical treatment for Portia, and then they take off. Oh, yeah, like, we totally don't, like, he just, like, leaves her there. And
which I guess is just supposed to be accepted as, like, well, we brought you to safety. You're fine now.
Yeah, cool. I guess. and then Sunny's plotline intersects with MK's, finally. So, finally. I don't know. I guess I would consider... that weird Christmas holiday decorated place to be, or hotel to be, I guess it would be the main section.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say with this show, because it doesn't really feel like there's ever really, like, a very strong A plot. It always feels like the A and B plots are kind of equally important, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think? Leopard Stalks in Snow.
Well, I mean, that's not what I would have titled it. But
what would you have titled it?
I don't know. But I kept thinking, like, one of the running themes of this episode was actually this show, this season, but especially this episode, is like whether you take the chance that's offered to you. Like, especially with in terms of violence, but not always. You know, if you saw that really clear with Lydia doing the thing that Ryder could not.
And then Lydia couldn't follow through. I mean, I think she did a little bit better than Ryder. She tried. Drew blood.
She tried. Quinn just, like,
Quinn was his usual Quinn self and stopped her.
Yeah. Speaking of Ryder, though, where's Ghost Ryder?
I think he's back. I think he's gonna come back, because isn't his actor's name still in the intro?
So, like, I honestly paid zero attention to the intro, so I couldn't.
I know, you always tune out the intro. Wait, let me check. Let me check the cast list real quick, because I can never remember. Other than, like, Danny Wu playing Sunny and, like, Aramis Knight playing MK, I don't really, like, know other people's real names. Let's see. Oliver Stark is Ryder. I think he's still credited in this episode, even though he doesn't show up.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I think Ghost Rider will be back, because, like, his father's not dead, and therefore I think he'll still hallucinate him. So.
I miss Ghost Rider.
It's only been one episode, Melissa.
It's really hard. Do not undermine my feelings.
Okay. So.
But yeah, no, I think... There was a lot of, like, emotional themes, like, and, like, I felt like there were a lot of the plots were kind of hitting the same kind of points. Like, they were kind of invoking the same kind of feelings in the audience.
Right.
Of, like, this triumph in a lot of sense, and then all of a sudden, like, destruction of triumph, and but like, but not everyone ended up well,
kind of back where they were, but also not really.
Right, exactly. Like, most of them veil excluded, and ended up like in a similar, but better place than where they were.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because you know,
well, I don't know. That, I think that's arguable for like Lydia.
I think Lydia's happier.
Hmm.
Maybe that's just me reading into her, but she's twisted. Like, don't forget, like, back in the first season, like, she loved all of the bloodiness of Quinn.
Right. I'm sorry, I still cannot get over, like, Quinn and his weird, disgusting grossness when it comes to blood. But,
I can't get over any of his grossness, honestly.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. I mean, so I would like to go as close to chronologically as possible with this episode, but I don't know how you feel.
Sounds good to me.
And I also want to say real quick that I actually really, really enjoyed this episode. Mm-hmm. I think it started off very strong with that slow-mo beginning, mm-hmm. where we kind of see basically all the carnage that has happened because of the explosives.
I was really surprised.
What were you surprised by?
Well, one, that they kind of took it so seriously. Because they kill mooks all the time.
Right.
But also that, like, the bomb had killed so many people. Like, we saw it go off in the end of last episode, but it didn't seem like it was that all-encompassing damage. Or at least that's not the way that I had read it.
Right. But I like the effect of it. It kind of reminded me of the very first episode in the very first season when Sunny comes across all those cogs who've been slaughtered. Mm, yeah. And it was very gross and gory and serious. And I was like, oh, like, we're getting kind of back into that kind of mode, which I kind of, like, I don't personally like gore or blood that much, but, like, it feels right for this series.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I know what you mean, though. It's a little bit weird that they took it so seriously, considering that they kill off random side characters all the time. So, that was an interesting choice. I think artistically, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, artistically, I would agree with you. But I actually didn't like this episode as much as you did.
Hmm.
I feel like...
I think I liked it because of the art side of things.
I think the entire episode suffered from a similar issue, which is Into the Badlands is inherently kind of a silly show.
Yeah, and yeah.
We have to buy into this silliness. Yeah. And, like, you know, they take itself extremely seriously. And I feel like it took itself even more seriously than usual.
Okay.
But, you know, with that beginning scene, with, like, you know, the deaths, with everything getting dark and dark again. It just felt...
It was too much for you?
Yeah, like, it just was... There were moments that I really liked in this episode, don't get me wrong. Like, mm-hmm. I really liked MK's... Almost everything MK did in this episode, which is probably the first time I've ever said that ever.
yeah, usually MK's are, like, punching bag.
Yeah, no, but MK was great in this episode. And I really liked Tilda in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And even though she drove me freaking batty, the Widow is extremely interesting in this episode, though... I do feel like she's invalidating all of her own arguments.
Yeah, she's kind of,
But we can get into that.
Yeah. I think what I really enjoyed in this episode was, like, the more artistic things, like lighting and what they did with sound and slow motion in the beginning, I think is what I really enjoyed. And then also, like, that Christmas, the Christmas setting and amazing. The lights and I really enjoyed those parts, I think. So for me, that kind of overshadowed, like, the weaknesses in the episode. But I don't think it was, like, a weak or horrible episode. I just think, I see what you mean, where it's just kind of, like, people didn't really change their status too much. And then Vale kind of just, like, circled back to where she was before.
Yeah. Part of it feels hopeless. And part of it just feels like that, I can't, what's her name, the girl that MK was with?
Ava?
Ava, yeah. She just feels like she was a pig for slaughter.
Oh, I knew she was going to be dead.
Well.
It was so obvious she was going to die this episode.
It was frustrating to me because I don't think it was a payoff that was earned. We didn't know enough about her. We didn't care enough about her.
Like, not enjoy her death, but, like, value her death.
Like, her death and, like, the fact that she even came after MK was, like, this doesn't really feel like this has been properly led up to.
Yeah, yeah, they should have set that up a bit more. Like, there was some foreshadowing, but not enough.
I don't think there... I think there's enough to, like, have her in doubt, but not enough to have her, like, run away and leave her entire life behind her.
Right, because it was so serious. She was like, yeah, like, I don't know who I am as a person anymore. And it's like, whoa, lady, where did this come from?
Right, I feel like we saw, like, step one and two, and then all of a sudden we saw step nine and ten. And, like, how did we get here? All
right, we really needed to build on that character.
So I found her death really, really frustrating because
it I had, like, very little emotional reaction to it. Like, I felt bad for MK, but, like, that was pretty much it.
Well, I mean, one, I was kind of glad because, like, she's...
I just feel, like, very about her as a character.
But I just... I think I'm more frustrated because she was supposed... Her death was supposed to make us feel things.
Right, and then we were just kind of like, whatever.
Whatever.
Bye!
Bye! You got very little screen time. You got very little meaningful moments completely. It was just... She was there so MK had someone to talk to. And when Sunny came back, she didn't need to be there anymore.
That's why we knew she was she was a goner. Because Sunny's back, and MK doesn't need a protector anymore. Because he has a different one.
Yeah, I'm so glad they're reunited.
I know, I was so relieved. It's like, you know, when they see each other, and it's like, oh my gosh! This is the father and son, the healthy father and son relationship I've been missing this entire time.
Yep.
Good riddance, Ryder. Good riddance, Quinn.
What are you talking about? Ryder and Quinn don't have healthy relationship? I'm confused.
Let's not go there. But yeah, no, it was such a relief to see them reunited. It's like the gang's all back together again. And, like, you totally knew, like, Badgie was gonna return. Because, like, dude, of course.
It was the Han Solo. Like, you knew he was coming back. I was waiting for it. And it was just, you know, the way he came back was just as epic as I had hoped.
Yeah.
Though that, we got a little revelation with him, too.
Right, that he was, I guess, a used to be a Dark One.
Yeah.
Or Abbot, or whatever they're called in this world.
Bloody, bloody thing. I don't know.
Right. Which is, I guess I like this revelation.
It adds depth to his character, definitely.
Because we see him as a very, comic character.
Yeah.
And we don't really associate that kind of lightness with, like, sorry. Power. The Dark Ones. Sorry, I had to go there. But, like, literally, like, every time we see the Abbots or the Dark Ones, they're also super serious and silent, and, like, he almost seems like just, like, the total opposite. Like, he's very jovial and talkative and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's interesting. Like, oh, he's, like, totally eschewed this lifestyle and, you know, become this weird grifter freeloader guy. But that's why I like Nick Frost so much in this show, because he brings much needed levity and lightness to a show that's like inherently, like you say, so ridiculous.
It's too much.
That, like, we really do need someone who's like, lol, I also have deep dark secrets just like you, Sunny. And it's like, oh great, we have like a normal human being like in the cast, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunny's our little ball of angst.
He really is. He really is. But he has his son back now, so not his literal like of his blood son, but his metaphorical son in MK.
It's been so long since we've seen them share the screen together.
Yeah, I was looking back at the season two, and this was basically the halfway point, essentially. Because it's like a 10 episode season.
Isn't this episode six?
We just passed the halfway point, which is why I was like, oh, like, things are finally ratcheting up. It's because we got to the halfway point. We're reaching that, you know, the climax, and I guess it's all, I don't know, I don't want to be like, it's all downhill from here, but, you know, the whole, like, story thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Rising, like, action, falling action, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think, but I mean, throughout the season, like, Sunny has been accomplishing his goals in that he's getting closer and closer to returning.
Right.
But it does feel like everything else is just becoming a mess.
I mean, it's the world of the Badlands. It's always in shambles.
It's called the Badlands.
Yeah. And he's, for some reason, wants to go back into it.
Because he is in love.
I know that feel, Sunny. But yeah, Sunny is great.
Too real.
But yeah, Sunny is great. The scene when they bring Portia to the healer, I kind of was getting a Lotus Eater vibe from all the people consuming the drugs, you know?
Explain.
Like, if I remember correctly, and hopefully I don't screw this up because I was an English major at some point in my life. The Lotus Eaters were characters in, I think, the Odyssey, right? So, doesn't Odysseus end up on an island where people are just, like, chilling, like, not thinking about all their worries, and they're just, like, basically getting high and just avoiding all their life responsibilities, as one does.
Yeah, I can relate.
He gets stuck in that little, in that place for a while, but then he eventually breaks free of it. Not that any of our main characters got stuck there, although we do see Badgie kind of, I guess, looking at softcore stuff and being like, oh, this is nice, and then, oh, shoot, I see that car full of avids, time to bounce. So they don't really get stuck there, but, like, it kind of reminded me of Odysseus and his little adventure with the Lotus Eaters.
That was a very intelligent literary allusion.
Did you also, like, feel like that was a reference, or...?
It felt like a reference to a few things. I definitely get the Odyssey feel now that you explain it, but it has been a long time since I read the Odyssey.
To be fair, I read the Odyssey when I was in high school, and that was, like, a long, long time ago, so...
Okay, we're not that old.
True, but, like...
But yeah, it's been a while. So, the Odyssey is slightly blurry in my head.
Right, but other films have also done this thing, too. Yeah. The Lotus Eaters. Like, think Inception, when they're in that room full of people who are using the drug to just be dreaming all the time. That's a Lotus Eater type thing. I know it's been done in other films and movies.
Yeah,
I just
can't think of them. It's
been done.
Yeah, it's a common kind of trope where people are like, I'm out. This world sucks.
Time to just be dreaming and thinking about other things. Yeah.
No judgment.
And I also said, can't be steampunk without the gas masks.
It's true.
You gotta stay true to form with your Into the Badlands steampunkness.
Sometimes they feel like they're getting away from it, and then sometimes they just like,
they just, we're like, gonna bring to pop it right back into that whole steampunk world, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely weird, because, like, you feel like they don't really have the... Like, the steampunk aesthetic is very obvious sometimes, but, well, I mean, like, in the show, it's, like, inconsistent, right? Because we have, like, the weird Asian clothing style thing going on, and then we have this steampunk style, and then, I don't know, it's kind of, like, all over the place. But, as we talked about, it's an anachronism stew. That's just how Badlands is, so.
Yeah, it's really a mishmash, and... If I try and kind of reason it out, I go mad, because I don't really think... I mean, you can, like, explain in-world why things are the way they are, but it's just because cool.
Yeah. Oh, I just... So, they keep focusing on that sign that says West Avalon. That's, Quinn's base. I just Googled it right now. Oh, it's the Badlands subreddit.
Awkward.
West Avalon appears to be a disused railway passenger facility, from all the signage about... Oh, shoot, sorry. My internet blocker is trying to block my Reddit page. it knows.
This is a real-time confession from Maggie.
The purpose of the blocker. West Avalon appears to be a disused railway passenger facility from all the signage about, although we've not seen any of the tracks. It's interesting to note that the signs from the station are in a font used up until the 1960s. It's also a really cool-looking set.
I assume that it was some kind of, like, Merlin reference?
Right, it's some kind of, like, reference to King... Well, not Merlin. Merlin well, yeah, is the BBC show, but like a King Arthur legend reference.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, yeah, I meant that family. I didn't ever watch that TV show either.
I'm going to read, I'll put the link in the show notes, but one user says, the actual West Avalon station is in New Jersey, so it doesn't fit with the show's geography. Avalon is an island from Arthurian times. It's where Excalibur was forged and where Arthur went to recover from his injuries after the Battle of Camlann. And then
shouldn't you know this, Maggie?
I did actually take a class on Arthurian literature.
I remember.
I don't remember the whole Avalon thing. I do remember that there were like weird names for London/Britain back in the day. I think it was called like Londinium instead of London. And there's also anyway.
Why was that ever changed?
From Londinium to London? Because it. I know you and your little kink for Roman history or whatever, but you know.
Excuse me.
Sorry, I don't mean to kink shame you, but
I have been shamed.
Let's see. This user continues by saying, I'm going to raise a bit of an objection, though. We've seen an issue of Wired from 2024, but the decor, fonts, and prices shown all imply that Avalon was abandoned in the late 50s, early 60s. If you went to any train station today that had been shuttered since 1959, it would not even be remotely habitable. Much less still have posters hanging and window vinyls that advertise hot towel 10 cents. But as we've discussed, the show is very, like, loosey-goosey with their, I guess when they decided the old world ended and the new world began. So, let's not think too hard on these things.
I found it interesting, though, that they referenced it. Like, they made more references to, like, the old world in this episode than they had basically ever before.
Right.
And I kind of thought they were just going to leave it in ambiguity because it doesn't really make a lot of sense aesthetically. Mm. But, I mean, I'm sure there's some fan theory out there that can explain the whole thing beautifully.
And we've only gotten through half the season, so who knows what other things are going to be uncovered in the next
half.
That's
true. But it does feel a little funky.
Well, it does feel like it's tied into the whole book of maybe it's Tibetan or some other language thing going on. And then also, apparently Azra appears on that Wired magazine, so that's related, and that maybe learning more about the old world will help us figure out that mystery.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean. It's also kind of like, it's so far the whole old world thing has been just like backdrop setting stuff, so it feels weird for it to be dragged into the plot now.
Yeah. It's mostly just there for, like, adding character to the world, essentially.
Right. Like, ooh, we're in a post-apocalyptic world.
Oh no, this is so bad. Try living right now.
Dang.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Not sorry. The point is that I think that if they pull it off well, then I will be glad that they dove into it. But I would be much happier, I think, if they just kind of let it simmer in the background, because I don't think they're going to do it well.
Right. It's Badlands. We know what they're capable of and what they're not capable of.
They're very pretty. They're aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy each episode to a degree. But when I think of a cohesive worldview, it has its flaws. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way I can say it.
What about this Blanca Peak Hotel thing? Oh, wait, no, you're breaking up on me. Say that again.
I said nothing.
Oh, I thought I heard you say the nicest something something something.
I think you're hallucinating, but okay.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to get spoiled because there's a spoilery comment on the subreddit, but when I googled Blanca Peak Hotel, the first hit was Blanca Peak, which is the fourth highest summit of the Rocky Mountains in North America. And I did have a feeling that we were somewhere in the west-ish, just because, like, there's too many Asians. and also, like, we're kind of south, but it doesn't really feel like it was, like, Florida South or that area.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, It doesn't
It's hard
matter.
to know how far, like, they are from the Badlands right now.
Because they do still have cars and gasoline, apparently. So
but not a lot.
Super restricted. Right.
It seems like it should be...
Where gas from? I don't understand.
Yeah, like, do they just have a huge trove and at some point it's just going to run out?
I don't know, man.
Because I feel like they don't have the capability to like, obtain more.
This show is entertaining, but world building is not one of its strengths.
Because, like, if there is a limited amount of gas, then shouldn't it be extremely, extremely valuable and expensive?
Right. The dude was just like, yeah, just take all the gas. I was like, are you sure about that?
What if the Badlands and everything around it is in an apocalypse? But, like, people in Europe are just, like, straight chilling.
It is possible.
It's not to be just Europe. Europe, Asia, Africa. They're just going on with their business. They're like, America, what the heck happened to you? We're just gonna let you do your thing.
I mean,
right now.
It's funny to think about, like, real life situations like this, because, like, there are still people who, like, groups of people, tribes who live in, like, the depths of, say, the Amazon jungle, who they don't have this advantage. Like, they basically don't know that that quote unquote outside world exists. So, I mean, we know that they're there because we literally send drones in and take pictures of them, and they're just, like, super confused, like, what the heck? For all they know, those drones are freaking alien ships or something. Like, there are literally, like, pockets of people on Earth
there
who don't
are,
know.
There are, but there are very few.
Oh, yeah. But it's a thing. That is a thing. I mean, they're not crazy like Quinn have their own weird feudal structure thing happening, but, you know, that is a real-life thing where there are pockets of people on Earth who they don't have contact with the outside world.
Actually, I would just love it if that's the explanation. Like, everyone is just like, we're gonna let America do its American thing. And everyone else is just living completely, like, awesomely in the 22nd century.
Oh, jeez. So, my next note is about Tilda, but I don't know if you have anything you want to bring up beforehand.
No, we can get into Tilda.
So,
I really liked this.
Yeah, so Tilda has a discussion with, I don't know what her name is, but one of
Odessa?
The... Is her name Odessa? A previous doll.
Odessa, I think.
Oh, Odessa. And they kiss! And I was like, yo, I knew it! My shipper senses were tingling last episode. They really
were.
Yeah,
I think we talked about it.
Yeah, because I was like, yo, like, I feel like she likes this girl or something. Like, what's happening here? And I was right! And I was like, yes. I don't know. Whenever my shipper senses are tingling and then they're later confirmed, I feel so validated. I'm like, yes, I predicted this. Good job, writers. Good job.
Good job. It was a really, really nice moment. And not just the kiss. It was the build-up. It's like...
And we get backstory.
We got Tilda backstory. We, like, they enter the scene thinking one way, and then we exited the scene thinking a significantly different way, but it was also a very natural progression of ideas and thoughts.
Yeah, it worked really well.
It was really good.
It's
I was really impressed.
It's a good scene. And
it's
then,
a good
like,
scene and like,
Waldo is his usual Waldo self, and it's just good.
Oh yeah,
it's just good.
And I was just starting to like you.
No, but like, nah. I even though I guess he's kind of a shady character, I still really like Waldo a lot.
Me too.
I don't know. I think he's like one of, if not the most realistic characters in the show in terms of like being able to adapt to this weird world that is the Badlands.
He doesn't take himself too seriously.
I think that's the key for me liking characters in this show, is that they're not, like, super up their own butts. Like, Quinn is, like, absolutely, like...
Well, he's just the circle. That's why he is an armadillo.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I mean, like, I love Vale, I love Sunny, but... Sometimes, man.
It's too much.
They just... Everything is so always on and so
and
real and dark and everything is awful and... I have trouble with shows that just stay in the awful zone all the time.
Yeah, yeah, we've talked about this. Wasn't Daredevil one of the shows you were struggling with?
Yeah, Daredevil. I got through the first season. And
or
I
House
did...
of Cards or something.
Oh, don't... We're not going to talk about House of Cards because... That's a whole nother discussion. But yeah, I have trouble with some critically acclaimed dark shows.
Hashtag dark and edgy.
Which I'm apparently not.
Or
maybe I am, and I just need something to alleviate that in the world of fiction.
Mm. You need a balance.
Yes.
Also, I know I'm kind of, I'm trying to go chronological, but because of the way the show structured, it's a little bit all over the place. But when the Abbots are tracking MK and kind of accidentally end up finding Badgy instead, I was trying to figure out, like, how are they tracking these people? And I was thinking, I don't know how much water this holds, but, like, maybe it's, like, radioactive blood? But this is before the whole scene where Badgy is, like, submerged in water, so maybe that's not it either. We don't really ever get a clear explanation about that. I don't think we ever will, but...
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, that it was, like, radioactivity, because it looked like there's little thingy maybe.
Look like a Geiger... is it a Geiger? Yeah, a Geiger counter or something?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I don't think water would get messed up. I don't think it would get messed up because of water. Or whatever
as
liquid
a
that body
radioactive was in. Expert, I can say, in my professional opinion, I gotta think that it isn't going to make a difference, but I really could not say. I don't think the writers really care either.
Right. And I mean, the only thing I can think about that it kind of reminded me of, and I don't know, I could be wrong about this, but I feel like, because remember we got so much more of that whole slavery narrative earlier on in the show, like season one. I mean, it's still here, yeah. Right? We have a discussion with a previous doll about how Quinn owned her since she was, you know, born, basically. I kind of reminded me, it made me think of, like, how slaves would escape from the South to the North in America, you know, pre-Civil War era. And I feel like that was a tactic, like, because, like, they would use dogs, overseers would use dogs to track a person's scent.
Yeah.
And then I think water would confound the dogs because of their sense of smell or something.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of that kind of
ties into it. It hides the trail, definitely.
What?
For a dog, it definitely hides the trail. For super magic powers, I'm not quite sure.
Right, but that's the only thing I think of because, like, we got more of that whole weird Southern Gothic slavery vibe at the beginning of the show in season one. Mm-hmm. And so I could kind of see the parallels maybe to slavery, like American slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, I don't know how water is going to mess up a machine detecting him. Whatever. It's Badlands. You
it's
gotta
fine.
Let it go.
I'm going with it.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was still, even though it doesn't make sense, it was still a clever thing for him to do. I liked that moment where he stared at the water, like, ugh. But he does it because he's a survivor.
Yeah, Badgie is a cockroach. You cannot kill him. You just can't.
I have a theory.
What?
The show's gonna end, and everyone will be dead, except for Badgie, who's now king of the wastelands.
King of the wastelands.
There's no one left, so it's not the Badlands anymore. He's the only one left. And he's
it's
like,
the wait, hold on. It's the Badgie lands. So good. I'm great.
So good.
I'm also liking how Quinn is looking worse and worse with every passing episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's really working for me. Especially that crazy, like, Hitler Youth haircut thing he's got going on, and just, like, the bags under his eyes, and just, he just looks awful, but I'm living for it. Like, props to the makeup artist. It's just, it's nice to see his, like, decline. I would love to see, like little screenshots or whatever of, like, Quinn's face from, like, episode to episode. I just feel like it's just getting worse and worse, but I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I want him dead.
This episode is definitely, he's looking worse, but, I wish it had been going on the whole season.
You feel like the deterioration is too sudden?
I feel like in the first few episodes, he was literally fine.
All right, he's like, I'm not dead. Whatevs.
You can't kill me. I'm the perfect picture of health until I realize that my brain tumor is back. And it never left. And oh my gosh, I've been getting steadily worse this whole time, but you never noticed. Ah!
It's called the placebo effect, Melissa.
I don't think the placebo effect can help that much with that. That brain tumor is the size of a fist.
I know. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how a brain works with its tumor that size.
Well, you know what's funny? Apparently, some people are born missing half their brain, but they're still able to function. But you can't do that to someone. I think it's some kind of developmental thing where that's okay if you're born or that happens early on. If you lose half your brain after a certain amount of time, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But that's literally a thing where people are able to operate. But again, that's like as if they were, if their brain developed that way. Yeah. They can work on half a brain.
I mean, I will say, though, that the brain is a mysterious, strange thing that we don't understand. Hashtag Phineas Gage.
Phineas Gage, for those of you who do not know, was a guy who... I think a rail, like, kind of bisected his head, and it just drastically changed his personality, but he was, like, otherwise...
He was pretty chill otherwise. Relatively unscathed. Yeah, like, he was still alive and walking around, and by all accounts, he shouldn't have been, but he was, and...
It's like that weird chicken that got beheaded, but part of its brainstem was still attached, so it, like, lived for, like, a decent amount of time, but then it choked on its own, like, vomit and just died.
Oh, Maggie.
Poor chicken. Anyway. It was literally a headless chicken that was, like, it was living Maggie. Its life. Okay,
We're moving on.
I'm good. We got way off topic here.
The point is that...
The brain tumor is so unrealistic.
Well, maybe. But maybe the Badlands is just so realistic, it seems unrealistic.
You know that is a trope. Like, realism isn't real, or something like that.
Right. Because, like, if things happen that happened in real life, or things that are happening in real life had happened in fiction, I think I'd probably be like, nope, not believable.
That is a trope. There's a whole trope. I'm gonna look it up. Hold up.
Well, I think there's a quote that's like, well, the difference between fiction and nonfiction is that fiction has to make sense.
Oh, yeah, here it is. The trope is called reality is unrealistic.
Yeah.
And there's tons of examples and stuff.
There are many examples.
Let's see. Some examples are all deserts have cacti, all flyers are birds.
But not all birds are flyers.
Audible. Oh wait, not all birds are flyers. Yeah, penguins. Dude, we talked about this trope. Audible sharpness. Fictional swords go shing at every motion, even when they're touching nothing but air. We talked about this.
I appreciate that trope.
I mean, that happened this episode when Quinn is using his sword or whatever to like. Move the widow's skirt around and it's just going shing and it's like what.
Maybe she has weapons hidden inside the hems of the skirt.
Anyway, so never many mind. Examples don't listen of, to me. Reality is unrealistic, but
yeah,
I'll link to it in the show notes. Let me just copy this link before I forget. Anyway,
we'll have the intern do it.
Oh man. If only, I mean, we don't have any, no. If you want to be our intern, apply now at sfincolor@gmail.com. anyway.
We will not pay you, but we do occasionally make people laugh.
I don't think
not often, but sometimes.
If I get my way, I will find some way to, like, sell merch for this show, but I probably will not get my way. Anyway.
Would anyone be interested in merch?
Yeah, email us. If you want merch, it'd be a fun thing to create or design. I have a couple more notes, Melissa. They're all kind of relating to the final kind of fight scene.
Final countdown.
It's the final countdown. Okay. But I have a couple more notes about the ending fight scene between the Abbots and not everyone else, but you know, the gang.
I mean,
before we go there, do you want to mention anything?
So many things.
Okay, go for it.
I really liked Sunny and Badgie's interaction in this episode. Like, it was just... Like, we'd seen Sunny kind of come to the realization that he's, like, team help people. I mean, obviously not quite as enthusiastic as maybe he will be, but, you know, he's getting there, and I appreciate
that. You mean
Badgie's
team help people, or?
No, Sunny.
Okay. So him realizing this about himself, you say?
Yeah. Like, you know, and, like, we saw that last episode when he helped Portia, and, you know, like, he's beginning to kind of interact with the world, and
right, except not in his weird, like, mercenary way.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a lot of season one, where it's like, oh, here is a young boy who I can take under my wing, and, like, I can stop being this weird not-person, weird mercenary who's, like, super unfeeling. I feel like he's, like, starting to melt almost, like he's some weird kind of ice king kind of figure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense.
He's learning how to be a person. In a way.
It's like a coming of age story. For
a Bill Dunks Roman.
Yes. Oh my god. I can't even tell you how many times we talked about that in my 9th grade English class, but
we're really going for the English class angle this episode.
I feel so smart. Well, actually, it's mostly you, so you get the cookies.
Aww.
But they're raisin.
Oh my god, you're the worst. Don't give me your horrible raisin cookies. Ugh. I deserve better. Anyway, you're saying.
It's just like, Sunny, I feel like, has been coming to this realization, but when Badgie comes back and he pulls the Han Solo and he came back to help... You came back. No, I came home. I don't know. I'm just waiting for that moment. But it was just really nice because I feel like their friendship and their relationship is really cemented in ways that it wasn't even in the past episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really like that. And this episode, though, was pain.
How do you mean?
Vale.
Oh, yeah, getting back into Quinn's... Like, she literally just escaped, and now she fell back into his hands.
Ooh. I feel like this is going to be one of the undoings of the Widow.
That she keeps compromising her own values?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's really nice that Tilda believes in her so much, and we got, you know, some of the explanation behind that, which was really cool. And it was one of those things that had been implied for a while, but, like, we got details, and it delivered.
Wait, can you kind of explain that a little bit more?
No, just about Tilda's past.
Oh, okay. And why she's so loyal to the Widow.
Right. And we also got the conclusive answer whether she was the mother or not.
Right. So not the biological mother.
Correct. Which, like, we'd guessed, but, you know, we didn't know for certain.
Right.
Because we didn't know quite why the Widow favored her so much.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know.
But we wasn't there an earlier episode in season one where you hypothesized that the husband had sexually assaulted Tilda? Or there was some kind of weird dialogue that kind of indicated that might be a possibility?
You know, this sounds like something I might have said once.
This was a thing that happened in one of our older episodes. I know it. I know we talked about this.
Well, that was so long ago.
Okay. Apparently I have a really good memory.
Apparently I have a crap memory.
I don't know. I have a good memory, but I don't know if I have the patience to go through our old episodes and find the exact episode. So, as a plug, I think you should listen to all of our old Into the Badlands episodes and let us know which one it is. Kidding. But, like, we've grown a lot. I think we've grown a lot as podcasters. I think we've come a long way. I mean, yes. We still ramble like crazy, but, you know.
Much like Sunny, we still have so far to go. But we have made progress. Yeah. And I think that's all you can ask of Sunny or of us. Anyway.
True. Oh, speaking of, I had a little, I didn't write it down, but I wanted to make a mention of, I really like the fact that anytime Sunny gets a pep talk from someone, it just makes me happy. Because I'm like, this man needs a pep talk.
He needs an eternal person standing behind him. Constantly giving him a pep talk.
Support structure. He needs some hugs. Like, this man, he's gone through a lot. So I was really happy to see that healer talk to him and be like, maybe you're not a good person, but you're not a bad person. So, like, chill out, bro. So, like, I really enjoyed that moment because I was like, yeah, honestly, Sunny used to hear this a lot more often from more people. Because he just, like, he's this weird tortured soul where he's like, I'm, like, the worst person in the world because I've killed all these people and blah, blah. And it's like, Sonny, I mean, you're not the paragon of, you know, innocence or something or anything, but you could be worse. You're no Quinn, so.
Very true.
And I mean, no one's as bad as Quinn, but.
Well, I feel like being a bad person was just a part of his identity.
Right, and he's having to shed that and kind of change almost how he sees himself.
Yes, which is that's nice. Very important before he raises his two children.
Yeah, basically.
I think MK is going to be a wonderful big brother.
Aww.
Don't you?
I mean, I really don't know if I can say that this show... I don't know how long the show's going
to
last.
This is not going to last that long.
But, like, I don't know if I could even... I don't know if this would ever end on a happy note where, like, MK is a delightful older brother to, what's his face? What's the baby's name?
Henry?
Henry, yeah. But that'd be nice. It's nice to dream.
The dreaming is nice.
So, we talked about the whole widow thing where she's kind of compromising her own values. Any other things that you want to mention that you were on your mind about this episode?
The only thing else, before we get to, like, the final bit of the finale epicness.
That's not a finale.
Well, the finale of the episode.
Yeah.
I really appreciated, one, the callbacks to earlier in the show, like when they mentioned about like giving Tilda the chance to poison the widow.
I had not forgotten about that. I couldn't remember like really the context or anything, but I remember that's something that happened.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that the widow like remembered that and was like, no.
Well, apparently Tilda told her.
Tilda told her? Oh, right. But yeah, we didn't. That was not on screen, right? The telling.
No, we didn't know.
Right.
So we didn't know that she had done that at that point, but it was. You know, kind of seeing all the characters react to Vale again, it was nice. It was, you know, right. Tilda was really happy to see her, and the widow seemed happy. And I think I was... Obviously, the widow is not doing her best A-plus job right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of surprised that she didn't immediately sell out Vale. I mean, you don't get brownie points for waiting, like, a minute.
Right. A betrayal's still a betrayal.
Right. So, like, I don't give her that much credit. But, like, as soon as Quinn proposed it, I thought she was just going to be like, okay, that's fair. But it at least troubled her
a little bit. Well, because we do know that the widow does, you know, kind of value women's rights in her own weird kind of way. But yeah, I was also kind of thinking, like, Vale, you're, like, way too trusting of the widow and thinking this is all going to be smooth sailing from here on out. Like, obviously, as viewers, we know we have more information than the characters.
Right.
But I was like, girl, like, the widow has sympathy for you and your child, but, like, not that much sympathy.
I don't think it's that unreasonable, though, for Vale to be kind of trusting of her, because that's the kind of person that she tries to paint herself as.
Yeah.
Psych!
Did you say psych?
Yes, I did. It's... Vale, things are not going well for Vale.
Yeah. I mean, I just want, you know, MK and Badgie and Sunny to come rush in and save her, but we're only halfway through the season, so I know it's not going to happen until, at least the end, if it even happens at all. So
I think we're not going to see a Sunnyvale reunion until the last episode.
That seems probable, but also very disheartening for my shipper heart.
Because I think, I mentioned this in the past season, they're, like, my favorite part of the show.
Right. So, and, like, everyone knows, like, one of the, like, rules of storytelling is, like, there's nothing interesting about a happy couple being together. That is so
bad. Says Storyland. But you know what? I like it.
No. That's like the rules of Storyland, though. It's like, you have to keep them apart because that's more interesting. You're more invested. You're like, oh my gosh, when is Sunny going to save Vale or whatever? Or when is Vale going to find Sunny? That's so much, that's infinitely more interesting than, oh, they're together. I mean, yes, you're happy that they're together, but like, that's not interesting from a story point.
I mean, to a degree, you're right. But I think their relationship lends itself really well to like interesting conflict.
Because of who they are as people.
Right. So, you know, that's something.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
Speaking of that something, I believe, actually, no, you talk. I'm going to make sure, I'm going to verify on the interwebs.
Okay. I mean, I really don't have too many notes about anything else. I mean, we didn't see Jade this episode, so.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure
she'll pop back in at some point. But no Jade.
Do you have any more thoughts about, like, the final fight scene, like, in the Christmas?
Well, I was saving all my stuff for that. Was there any other notes that you want to talk about? I don't know what you're looking up.
Oh, yes. So, Into the Badlands, I think we've already announced this, but I just remembered Into the Badlands has been renewed for a larger 16-episode season 3.
Oh, wow. So we went from 6 to 10 to 16. Nice.
We are moving up in the world.
We really are. I mean, I just hope they get... I mean, the thing that about this show, though, I find it enjoyable, but it just everyone and everything is so tortured that, like, I'm kind of scared for a 16-episode season, because that's, like, how much pain and grief can you pack into 16 episodes, man? Like, I don't know if I can take any more of this.
Yeah, so this was announced back in April. But it's exciting. Anyway,
it is.
I don't think we discussed it on the pod before, and it does make me feel slightly more optimistic for, like, not a good resolution, but a resolution period.
Yeah, I think this would be a good time to tie up everything and end. Like, I don't know, I think they should end it at the end of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, man, this story is so long and tortured. Like, I love you, but sometimes you just gotta end things. I can't see the show going on being like a long runner. Like, it could just be painful.
I could, but it would have to change
in
the way
what,
it is. It isn't way. Sustainable the way it is, I think.
Right.
I think if they, let's say season 3, Vale, MK, Sunny, the gang, whoever is there, escape the Badlands, or maybe let's even say overthrow the Badlands and create a new beautiful world of
that's not gonna happen
bliss. Season 4 could move into a different direction. You could still be, let's say, in the Badlands or still in that world, but you know, it could be slightly focused on other things. And if they had different things to focus on, it could sustain itself over a long period of time.
I just don't see that show going that way, you know?
You're so pessimistic.
Said, funny you know, for you to say that to me.
I know, I'm the queen of pessimism. I don't.
You're pessimistic about life. I'm pessimistic about storylines, especially ones regarding the Badlands.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to look stuff up about the whole Journey to the West Chinese novel thing. Because, again, I kind of just know surface stuff about it. Okay, so remember way back in episode 1 of season 1 of our.
Yes.
Of our little podcast.
I remember clearly. Continue.
We talked about how the show was loosely, very, very loosely based on the Chinese tale Journey to the West.
This tale is also very loosely based on a good plot.
Dang.
But continue.
I wanted to just double check that I knew who the main characters in that story were. So we have Sun Wukong, the Monkey King. I'm gonna screw up the pronunciation.
No worse than I would.
I know. Zhu Badger, who is Pigsy, aka Badgy in this iteration. And then Sha Wujing, who is, I guess I call him Sandy or Monk Sand or Monk Sandy or whatever. Those are kind of like the main, I guess, bad guys looking for redemption in this story. And then we have, who's the other character? God dang it, sorry, I keep scrolling
the
around.
The Monkey King.
Well, yeah, I mentioned him. He's more like the ensemble dark horse trope. He wasn't supposed to be the main character, but he was really popular. People really dug him, so, like, he kind of became a main character of his own right. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
he's not the main character story. He just met, like, people Spike. Just like him. He's like, who?
Spike.
Bike.
Buffy.
Oh, he's like Spike. I have to watch. I have to watch Buffy to see
understand
if that holds
all
up.
My weird references.
Yes, and then there's the monk who's traveling with them, a dragon prince who acts as that monk's steed, a white horse. So the weird dragon horse thing. I am still so we know MK is. It's weird, because we had the whole discussion earlier in our first episode, like, is Sunny the Monkey King? Is MK the Monkey King? Are they both the Monkey King?
Everyone is a Monkey King. You're a Monkey King. You're a Monkey King. You're all Monkey Kings.
I mean, I guess.
He's like, I'm not even going to justify that with a response.
I know. I was like, I don't know what to say to that. So I'm still trying to figure out who is Monk Sand. And who is the dragon horse character? And who's the monk? Because,
well,
remember
I
was saying, well, if Vale is pregnant and she's on this journey and part of the group, but she's not really part of the group, I mean, hopefully she would be, I think she would be the monk and, or the weird horse dragon. I don't know, man. Because she's not evil and she's not a fighter. So I was like, maybe she'd be the monk or something. The one who needs protecting to get over to Azra or the Promised Land or whatever. But then I still don't know who... Is the horse Sunny? Like, is he the Dragon Prince horse? Like, what is this? And then who is Monk's Sand? I still want to know. But whatever. I know it's not going to fit perfectly because it's super loosely based.
Well, if I've learned anything based on Badgie, it's that... If it's going to be based on a character, we're going to know. It's going to be obvious.
Oh, yeah. It'll be obvious, for sure.
MK, Monkey King.
I think again, this is assuming that Badlands is trying to follow the Journey to the West story, which it is certainly not. But if the monk's disciples were, say, all previous Dark Ones, that would make sense thematically, right? Because the Monkey King needs redemption. And he would be, MK used to be a Dark One. He apparently lost his power. Badgie also lost his power. So maybe the person who would be Monk Sandy or Monk Sand would also be a Dark One who has lost his or her power and joins them on their journey, which would make thematic sense and be interesting. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be nice.
I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, you never know.
You never know with this show.
That is I consider that, well, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Right, because it would be kind of boring if it stuck to this story, you know, this old story, right?
Yeah.
And who's the Buddha in all this? Certainly not Quinn.
Sunny.
It's like, there's only one god in the Badlands. It's me, Quinn! Like, no. No. Okay, shall we talk about the fight scene?
Yes.
Okay. I said Christmas special because
it was very weirdly timed.
It was the closest we're ever going to get to a Christmas special for this show.
Well, it's good that it aired so close to Christmas, you know?
I know, right? I said when all the Dark Ones started going into their dark state and their eyes started changing colors and stuff, I was like, Avatar state? ?
It felt really epic. Though, I gotta be honest, every time you say Dark One, I think of Once Upon a Time, and it takes me out of the mood slightly.
I mean, I don't know what else to call them, because they're not all abbots.
You can call them dark ones. Just understand that I'm going to be picturing, like, Rumpelstiltskin.
It's tainted in a way. I really love the lighting in the Christmas themed fight scene. Like, the whole, like, them, like, the woman abbot, you know, grabbed the string of lights and lit up the whole place in, like, that weird 50s, 60s music that was Christmas music that was playing.
Jingle bell.
I know, it was so good. And then, like, just having them fight in the fake snow when the fake snow was flying everywhere. Like, they knew what they were doing and it looked gorgeous.
It was great. It was
so good.
Maybe it was, I wouldn't say it's my favorite fight scene they've done ever, but
it's beautiful.
It was really, really well done.
Yeah.
Every moment felt important.
Mm.
Planned and significant.
Yeah. Except for that girl's death.
Well, I mean, no, in that particular sequence, I think it was good. Oh, it was just poorly led up to in every other episode.
Right. So that was an epic fight scene. Every time the dark ones get involved, we know, like, it's about to get real. Because even Sunny has trouble defeating them.
Yeah, and he didn't do so hot.
And considering he has, like, 400 plus kills under his belt, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that scene. And then I had some other thought about it. The chi blocking thing.
Yeah.
Where that dude who he kills... Well, again, we know Bloodlands. Oh my gosh. We know Badlands is not realistic with their gore and blood. Like, Sunny slices that dude's, like, head. Like butter. Because that doesn't make any sense. Because a sword would not go through bone like that. But whatever. And...
That was...
But it also was, like, very unrealistic. Because if you chop someone's head off like that, it's gonna be gushing everywhere, dude.
Oh, yeah. No. It was... I was torn whether to feel like...
But then do I want to see gushing blood? No.
Right, exactly. Like, I felt horrified in just, like, the existence of that moment. But then also, I didn't want it to be more realistic looking because that would be... That would be bad. I had enough severed things from earlier in this episode with the explosion.
Yeah. But it's always, like... to not be too spoilery about Breaking Bad, even though it aired, like, a bazillion years ago, it's, like, kind of like there was one epic bad guy's death scene. It was kind of like that, too, where there was some kind of body horror stuff going on, but it wasn't as gory or as realistic as it could have been because, you know, that would have just ruined the whole thing. But it was, like, an epic death worthy of an epic character. And, so I guess I kind of got that vibe, like, I know we didn't know this antagonistic character super well, but, like, he had a epic death because he was an epic opponent, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that. No Mook would die like that. That'd be weird. It would be unwarranted. So, again, that final fight scene in the episode, so good. I guess I... don't really understand what was going on with Ava, because she was impaled, and it's like, oh, she's dead, but then she impales the female abbot with her fingers, like, what? But anyway, that was weird.
I didn't think it was her fingers. I thought she had used something in her hand.
Oh, it looked like her fingers, dude.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I don't stare that closely at the blood gush, honestly. But, you know, that was a good moment. Even though her character did not get everything it deserved, probably.
Right.
It was a good death for her.
Right. Again, the whole epic death for epic characters with epic fight scenes.
Well, that's the problem. She wasn't an epic character.
So. Right. If we had learned more about her and were more emotionally invested in her story, that would have been better.
Yeah.
We just get this weird throwing in, like, oh, yeah, I forgot who my parents were thing. That was, like, super random.
I'm like, yeah, I kind of don't care.
Sorry, lady.
Like, maybe if we'd been growing your relationship instead of just, like, chilling with Quinn the entire season, maybe I would care, but I don't, so sorry.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how... Excuse me. If we got less of a certain character and got more of a different character storyline, how that would affected the plot. I don't know if... do you think the show as a whole, the season as a whole, would have suffered if we got less Quinn? or I don't know.
So
I don't know if we need, do we need as much Quinn as we've been getting? Do we?
He seems to be like one of the most important characters right now, and I feel like that's not fair to every other in character.
Right.
I feel like, yeah, he's crazy. That's, we can only see that so many times. I don't think we need to have it.
I feel like it's not adding anything new. Like, we already know all the stuff about Quinn. Why can't we explore other characters more?
Yeah, I would have liked to see, I never found MK's story compelling this season. Right. And maybe the writers were like, well, not a compelling story. We're going to give it as little time as possible.
Right.
And but I don't think that was what it was. I think it wasn't compelling because it didn't get enough, like, screen time.
Right.
We didn't get enough details to make it compelling.
About, I'm going to train and try to escape this place and, like, kind of learn more about what may or may not have happened. But
sort of, but not really.
But, like, it...
Before I learn anything definitively, I'm going to leave.
Right, right. It's like you were saying last episode or whatever, a couple episodes ago, when you're like, you wish you knew more about, like, the abbess and the temple and stuff. Yeah. So, that's a little frustrating.
Frustrating is a state of mind.
We've been getting more Vale than last season, though, which I love.
Yes.
Because Vale was a bit player last season, but she's in the big leagues now, so...
Yeah, but it's all pain.
It's all pain, though. That's the problem. It's all pain. I want to see. I mean, she did get a fight scene, kind of, with Edgar.
Yeah, but
I want to see her have a moment of triumph, man. It just feels so downtrodden. Like, I miss the sweet, sunny Vale interactions of yesteryear. Like,
where, like, they were reading together.
I know, it was Dr. Seuss, and Sunny is a freaking, like, illiterate child. So it's like, oh my gosh. My feels. My shipping heart. But yeah, I do like we have more Vale. It is all pain though, so that's not great. We get more, I think, nuance with the Widow, which is nice, I guess. I don't know if you'd agree, but
I think it's nice to have the nuance, and I think it's good for the story. It's just frustrating for her, for me as a character. To view
for
her.
You, like, as a character?
Well, not like,
you're not a character in Badlands.
Me,
you would die.
Oh, I would be dead
in, like, episode zero pilot.
Yeah, no,
I mean, so would I, but
it's frustrating for, like, me to watch it and to think of her as. Because we complained last season, right, that she was, like, what men
think a strong female character is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The Zack Snyder effect.
Yes. Very beautifully put. And I think they'd been kind of getting away from that in this episode.
Right.
Or in this season. I don't think they've, like...
Because they have women writers on the team.
Yeah, I know, right? The value. But... obviously this could go in a good direction, like an interesting direction where we still get more complexity from her and, you know, there's difficulty with Tilda and,
Oh, I'm sorry. I just looked at Zack Snyder and I was like, he looks enough like Quinn that I'm just, like, kind of repulsed right now. Sorry. Go on. Go on.
So, like, it could become interesting, but it also, I worry that it's going to fall back into that same kind of territory.
I see. So, overall, your feelings on the episode were?
Not as strong as some of the previous ones, but I enjoyed it.
Right.
It was good.
Yeah. I agree. Again, I was blown away by the artistic aesthetic choices. But, I think plot-wise, I wasn't, like, super blown away. Like, think about that episode where Quinn had his, like, little triumphant return. Like,
yeah,
that was a moment, you know?
It was.
There was plot stuff going on. Not that stuff wasn't happening this episode, but yeah, that just felt like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Whereas things are kind of, you know, they're progressing, but not as intense as that episode.
Yeah, things are going, and, like, we get some of the reactions. We're still getting kind of a reaction to that in terms of Lydia. Just, Lydia, I don't know where her head is, but...
I mean, she has her weird, relationship with Quinn that's super messed up, so... Good luck with that, lady, but...
I don't think that's going to serve her particularly well.
Nope.
Especially...
She went in like, I want to avenge Ryder.
Yeah.
Actually, no.
Wait, I forgot. Why was I here? I came downstairs for something. what was it?
Essentially.
Though it'll be interesting with Vale back in the picture.
Vale. Oh, right. Now they get to fight. It's going to be great.
Cat fight.
Or oh, my God. If they kill Henry, I'll be so pissed.
Yo.
If they... You cannot kill the baby. You cannot
kill... The baby, you don't kill the dog, you don't kill the cat. That's the rule, and we are all going to agree with it.
If Henry dies...
We're out.
Unacceptable.
I'm done.
Unacceptable.
No more episodes.
We do not condone baby killing. We do not condone child death on this podcast. Unlike other podcasts, there is no child death here. So
correct. Only unnamed child death.
We're talking about. But, yeah, no. No child death. Henry stays alive.
Only mooks.
Huh?
Only mooks.
Mooks can die. They can lose their limbs. They can be, you know, sliced in the face. Like, that's all fine.
And they have part of their face slide down.
Right?
Like it's a cake.
Like a cake?
Like it's a cartoon cake.
What?
Like, if you, like, in the cartoons when you slice the cake and it just kind of slides down.
Oh. I don't think that was my first thought when I saw that dude get, like, sliced in the
really?
Face. But
that was definitely mine.
Oh,
I've been watching
a
lot of
baking
shows.
You know what would be a great AU? Sunny as a Great British Bake Off AU.
Oh my God.
And they're all competing, and Quinn is just, like, running around flipping everyone's tables over. And like he and the widow are like skiing. I don't know how Great British Bake Off works.
You are dramatically overestimating the amount of drama.
I mean, they're British, right? Like they're not, you know, heathens.
The most dramatic moments have been accidents so far.
Accidentally singeing a pancake or something. Anyway, I just tied into our earlier conversation pre-pod, so. Oh, anyway. Any final notes about this episode?
If you kill Henry, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you. That's all.
And we don't mean it in a Lydia way. Like, we will actually go through with it.
Actually, I don't think I'll actually kill anyone.
Right. We'll
to
just be very, very sad.
And the United States government who's listening in.
Dies. You do not kill the baby. That is like... Did we talk about this? Like, using children is, like, such a cheap, like, way out.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cheap emotional thing.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Trust me.
Anyway.
But.
That's pretty much it for this episode, I think. Oh, no, you have
one moment that I really enjoyed was when the widow is, like, telling Vale about her betrayal, basically.
Okay.
And we get the... Like, we, as the viewers, totes magotes know that she's going to sell him out to Quinn, and Quinn's going to be there. But just the time when, like, Quinn steps forward and he's behind them,
mm-hmm.
it was, like, you know, I think he's at the top of the stairs.
Right, and he's kind of framed by that circle window thing going on.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I loved it.
You know, I was scared about something happening like that when Vale is running through the forest. Like,
yeah.
Because anytime the camera starts panning in a serious moment, I start getting scared, like horror movie flashbacks.
Yeah,
like,
who's
is there
behind?
Be a thing in the corner or behind a tree? But, like, no, she was fine. It was just trusting the widow is what got her in the end. So.
But then again, the frustrating part about it is that, like, she could not have done any better.
Right, like... She was gonna run out of the widow's sanctuary and go somewhere else? Like, nah.
No, like, it was... She had no choice in the matter, and so that's what's frustrating. It's like even her own bad choices led to this. It was just... The only option she had did not turn out to be very good.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe one day Quinn will die. Maybe. Maybe one day. I doubt it, but...
Badgie it's will nice live.
Just that tumor, man. When's the tumor gonna? You know what?
It's literally
you know
never gonna kill him.
Doing? She should have been doing stuff to speed up his tumor cancer death. Or maybe she has been and it hasn't been working. But you know, like come I don't on, know. Lady, get on it. So.
Yeah. What's the chance that Quinn is going to die from his tumor versus he's going to die from violence? Because I feel like he's definitely going to die from violence. And the right. tumor's almost going to be irrelevant.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I was so, like, throughout all of season 1, I was just like, Quinn, just die already, please. At this point, I think I've just accepted it. I'm just like, Quinn will not die.
Quinn is eternal and immortal.
Apparently. Okay, enough of that. Are we doing Badlands next week? I want to check our schedule. It might be time to go back to Sensate World.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's been enough time, so I don't remember
anything.
Let's
go back into the land of Netflix and see what awaits us, because I just need a break from all this angst stuff. Like,
true that.
Not that Sensate is less angsty, but
true
it's
that.
A different kind of angst, you know?
It at least has its lighthearted moments.
Yeah, I need to see what's going on with the whole Sun and Moon detective versus Sunbok thing. Like, I need to know what's happening there. So next week, join us as we go back to Sensate, and we will talk to you next Sunday. Bye.
Bye-bye.